a few weeks ago, I heard about a man who took his nagging wife on a trip to the Holy Land. And don't get me wrong, it was a great trip, but unfortunately, she died while they were in Jerusalem. The funeral director met with the husband, and he told them it's going to cost him about $10,000 to have the wife's body shipped all the way back to the United States. But it would only cost him about $2,000 to have his wife buried right there in Jerusalem. And he asked the husband, what would you like to do? And the husband said, well, you better ship her back to the United States. And the funeral director was somewhat puzzled, and he replied, are you sure about that? Remember, it's going to cost you $10,000 to have her shipped back to the United States and only $2,000 to have her buried right here in Jerusalem. And the husband thought for just a brief moment, and he said, you know, I heard years ago about this man who died in Jerusalem. They buried him, and 3 days later, he actually came back to life, and I just can't take that chance. I tell you that story today because we here at Fairfield Christian Church really do believe that Jesus Christ came back to life from the grave. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 20, and you will see that John is actually an eyewitness to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And John also tells us in John chapter 20 about something that happened right after the resurrection. Now that you have your Bibles, open them up, John chapter 20. Let's begin reading in verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, that is called twin, that's the Greek word for twin. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Look at verse 25. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas then said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. And it goes on to say, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life, you may have life in his name. Years ago, there was a guy by the name of David Squire who lived in Toronto, Canada, and one day he called his daughter Trina. And his daughter was absolutely shocked to hear his voice. You see, she was shocked because she was attending his funeral. You see, what happened was this. There was a badly mutilated body that resembled this retired welder by the name of David Squire. And the man, whoever he was, had been hit by a train, and the body was misidentified. It really wasn't David Squire. And Squire found out about his own funeral while he was reading his own obituary in the newspaper. And so he called up his daughter Trina just to clear things up. Later on, the uncle said she thought it was a ghost that was talking to her, and she totally lost it. I bet she did. She probably totally lost it. Stop and think for a moment. Can you imagine how shocked Thomas was when the other disciples told him they had just seen Jesus after his death on the cross? You see, Thomas didn't believe them. I mean, Thomas didn't believe them. He had seen Jesus' badly mutilated body on the cross some 3 days earlier, but this was not a case of mistaken identity. Understand, the Roman soldier thrust this spear into Jesus' side just to make sure he was dead. And when the soldier thrust the spear into his side, the body did not flinch at all. Jesus really was dead. And Thomas knew it. He said, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it at all unless I can touch the holes in his hands and put my hand in his side. I'm not sure about this, but there might be some of you who in your heart of hearts, you really do question whether or not Jesus came back from the dead. You really do question, is this resurrection stuff true or not? Or is it just a feeble attempt to add to the mystique of Jesus? You see, that's a critical question that all of us have to answer. All of us have to answer it because the resurrection of Jesus Christ really is the foundation of Christianity. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, he said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Now today what I'd like to do is to show you three different attributes, three different things about this guy whose name is Thomas. And these three different attributes actually enabled him to move from being a skeptic about Jesus Christ to being a full-on believer in Jesus Christ. And I would suggest that if you are like Thomas, you're questioning things, I would suggest to you today that you can move from skeptic to being a full-on believer, just like Thomas. Now, let's look at this first attribute of Thomas. You see, Thomas really wanted to believe. He really wanted to believe, but he was honest about his doubts. You see, what you believe has a great deal to do with what you want to believe. For example, let's take a teenage kid. He gets stopped for speeding, and the police find some weed under the seat of his car, some marijuana. And he tells the officer, oh, I was just at a party. I took some friends home. I didn't drink. I didn't have any alcohol at all. You see, I'm the designated driver, officer. I didn't even know it was there. Really, I didn't even know it was there. Now, who's more likely to believe that teenage kid? The policeman or his mom? Now, a similar thing happened to Mary Ann from Gilligan's Island. I mean, I love those 1960s reruns of Gilligan's Island. If you've never watched them, you got to watch them. They're absolutely hilarious. But at any rate, Mary Ann, when she was home in California, she was going home late one night after a party, and she was stopped by the police, and they found marijuana in her car. You see, she was taking some guys home from a party, and they lit up while they were in her car, and she kicked them out. She kicked them out of her car, but they left the weed, the marijuana, in her car. What do you think about Mary Ann? I mean, we want to believe her, right? We really do. I mean, it's Mary Ann, after all, the wholesome, pretty girl that was marooned on Gilligan's Island. It's Mary Ann. We want to believe her. You see, your belief is oftentimes influenced by your desire. And with Thomas, he really wanted to believe in the resurrection. But somehow, Jesus coming back from the dead really didn't seem possible at all. I mean, maybe in his mind, he thought to himself, you know what, the other disciples, they said they saw Jesus, but really they were just hallucinating. They thought they saw Jesus. Or maybe they saw a ghost. Or maybe they saw a lookalike of Jesus. You see, Thomas really wanted to believe, but he had enough integrity inside of him to say, you know what, I'm not so sure about this resurrection stuff. Let me say this. If you honestly doubt, if you honestly have doubts about Christianity, if you honestly have doubts about Jesus Christ, it's not a sin. It really isn't. In fact, here at Fairfield, we welcome anybody and everybody who has questions. Ask away. We welcome questions. You see, at one time or another, I believe that the disciples all had questions. They all doubted at one time or another. You see, doubt can actually motivate you to find the truth. Now, I would think that everyone would want to believe in the resurrection of Christ. I mean, if it really is true, if Jesus really did walk out of the grave under his own power, that means that we can know God, because no one has ever come out of the grave under his own power. And if it's true, it also means this: there's hope for you. There's hope for those who've gone on before you. You see, there's hope for all of us beyond the grave. Jesus said in John 11:25, he said this, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. Did you get that? He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Even though he dies. Years and years ago, the Tonight Show had a comedian who was their host, and his name was Johnny Carson. Many of you know who Johnny Carson is. Johnny Carson was asked what he wanted on his tombstone, and this is what he said. He said, "I want these words on my tombstone: I'll be right back." That's what he said, because he said that on the show all the time. And isn't that what you want? I mean, isn't that what you want? You would think, I would think, that everyone would want eternal life. But why is it that so many people really don't believe in Jesus Christ? Well, there are a couple of different reasons. First of all, I would suggest that their minds are just simply closed. Because if they did believe in Jesus Christ, that would require a lifestyle change. And so many people today say, you know what? I don't want anybody telling me how to live my life. It would require a lifestyle change. If Jesus Christ really did raise from the dead, it means that not only is He your Savior, but He's your Lord. He's your leader. He's the one who calls the shots in your life. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19, Jesus also said this. He said, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light. Why? For fear that his deeds will be exposed." Now, there's another reason, a second reason why I think some people really don't want to be identified with Christians, and that is because they've bought into the whole idea or the whole Hollywood imagery that Christians are hypocritical, that Christians are boring, that Christians are nerdy, that Christians are shallow. Listen, just because someone plays Mozart poorly doesn't mean that Mozart was not a great composer. And just because someone follows Jesus Christ poorly doesn't mean that Jesus Christ isn't worth following. God wants you to follow Jesus Christ rather than any one particular Christian. And there's a huge difference between the two. Now, here's a second trait that I think Thomas had, a positive trait, and that is this. Thomas intentionally put himself in an environment where he could discover the truth. He intentionally put himself in an environment where he could discover the truth. You see, for some reason or another, Thomas was absent on that very first Easter Sunday. We really don't know why he was gone. Maybe he was so distraught, he just wanted to wash his hands of the whole Jesus thing and get away. Maybe Thomas was sick. And I could drop a really bad coronavirus joke in here right now, but I'm not going to do that. But maybe he was sick. We're just not told why he wasn't there. You see, for whatever reason it was, he missed the most spectacular event of the 3-year ministry of Jesus' life. You see, when Jesus showed up after the grave, when he showed up after the grave, alive. And so the very next Sunday, the disciples were in that house, and John is very, very explicit about what he said. He said the doors were locked. And not only that, he said that Thomas was there. And there's a lesson here that I don't want you to miss. That means that you find a church that teaches the Bible, and when you find a church that teaches the Bible, you attend that church regularly so that you can examine the evidence that we're talking about today. Why? Because if the resurrection really is true, it means that you can have all of your sins, all the bad stuff that you've done in this life, you can have it all forgiven. It means that you can have life beyond the grave. It means that you can have purpose, a purpose for living. It means that you can have a reason to get up in the morning. If Jesus Christ really did come back to life, do you realize that you are what you think about? Solomon in the Old Testament pretty much said the same thing in Proverbs chapter 23. There he basically says, you are what you think. You are what you think. There are some students who heard this, and one of the guys says, that's not true. You don't become what you think about. And the other guy said, well, why not? Why not? He said, well, that's because I'm not a beautiful woman. You see, you do become what you think about. You need to put yourself in a position to examine the evidence of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who are students today, let me say this. Show me who your friends are, and I will tell you about your future. Show me who your friends are, and I will tell you about your future. And the same thing can be said for those of us who are adults. You show me who your friends are, and I will tell you what your future is going to be like. You see, we are influenced by those people around us. Now, here's a third thing, a third positive trait that I think Thomas had, and that was this. Thomas objectively examined the evidence, and he made a decision. He objectively examined the evidence, and he actually made a decision. He decided that he would actually believe with no reservation at all. You see, in that suspense-filled upper room, Jesus appeared one more time to the disciples. But when he appeared to the disciples, he focused on Thomas. I mean, imagine the chaos. Imagine the chaos that was created when Jesus appeared in that room when the doors were locked. Imagine the chaos. They were probably shocked out of their minds. And Jesus said, do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, peace be with you. In other words, guys, settle down. Settle down, guys. It's me. It's Jesus. It's okay. It's me. And then he turned his attention to Thomas. He focused on Thomas. He said, hey, Thomas, come here, buddy. Hey, come here. I want to focus on you right now. You wanted to touch? Thomas, put your fingers in the holes in my hands. And Thomas, put your hand into my side and stop doubting. And then according to what John wrote there in John chapter 20, Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And then after that, Jesus responded by saying, you believe. You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those, get this, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Who's he talking about? He's talking about you. He's talking about you. You believe. You believe even though you've never ever seen God or heard his audible voice. And by the way, the Christian faith is the only faith that invites investigation. Now in Matthew 28, we see another eyewitness to the resurrection. Here in Matthew 28, in the very beginning verses of Matthew 28, we find a couple of different ladies who actually go to the tomb on that very first Easter morning. When they get to the tomb of Jesus, they find out that the stone has been rolled away from the doorway into the tomb. And not only that, but they also see an angel of God at that tomb. And this is what the angel said in Matthew 28, verses 6 and 7. The angel said, come and see, go, come and see and go and tell my disciples. Come and examine the evidence. Come inside the tomb and look and see. He's not here anymore. Now go, get out of here. Go and let people know. Go and tell my disciples. Would you like to believe? If you would like to believe, I would suggest to you to examine the evidence that's out there. Did you know that Jesus appeared to 12 different groups of people after his resurrection, who didn't expect it? Added to that, you've got the Roman government. Added to that, you've got the Jewish leaders. They did everything they could do humanly possible to squash the resurrection rumors. But guess what? They never ever found a body of Jesus. They never found a body. In addition to that, many of the eyewitnesses who died, they died for what they had actually seen with their own eyes. And who would die, who would actually die for a lie? His name is Anthony Flew, PhD. Dr. Anthony Flew became an atheist when he was just 16 years old. His dad was a Methodist pastor. And Anthony Flew became one of the most atheistic professors in the entire world. But he changed his mind in the year 2004 at the age of 81. Jay Leno, another host of The Tonight Show, Jay Leno heard about it and he said, well, of course he believes in God now. He's 81 years old. And that could be, I guess. It could be, but I seriously doubt it. You see, Dr. Flew said that the key for him was the nature of DNA. Dr. Flew was so impressed that at the center of every single cell, there's an incredible amount of information. He said this. He said the very nature of DNA is a diagnostic of intelligent design. World Magazine published that Dr. Flew actually renounced his life's work. Flew said, "It's a matter of intellectual honesty." He went on to say, "My whole life has been guided by this principle. Follow the evidence wherever it leads." And there's a lesson for you and me. Examine the evidence. Follow the evidence. Examine the evidence about the Bible. Examine the evidence about creation. Examine the evidence about Jesus. Did you know that there are over 200 predictions about Jesus Christ? Over 200 prophecies, to put it in Bible terms, about Jesus Christ? He would be born of a virgin. He would be a descendant of King David. He escaped to Egypt. He would heal the sick. He would be rejected by his own people. He would be buried in a borrowed tomb. He would actually come back to life after having been dead for 3 days. You see, all of these came true in the person of Jesus Christ. And all of these predictions were written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. 700 years before Jesus was born. And if you do have questions, let me challenge you to read the Bible. See what the Bible has to say for yourself. Don't rely on other people telling you what the Bible says. See what it has to say for yourself. And in closing, I need you to understand this. God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose up from the grave. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the church. He's given us Christian friends. God has actually given us His presence in our lives in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's been said, if there are 1,000 steps to God, God has taken 999 of those steps. But the last step is up to you. You see, the ball is in your court. Here at Fairfield, we don't twist arms. Here at Fairfield, we don't make you become a Christian. You see, we want you to examine the evidence. We want to try to answer your questions. We allow you the space to ask questions. But the ball is in your court. The last step is up to you. And if you would like to take that step and asking Jesus Christ into your life to be your leader and forgiver, we would love to talk with you about that. Just contact us here at the church building. Maybe email us from our website. That would be wonderful. myfcc.church. That would be great. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we are truly thankful for yet another story about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that as we have looked at what John wrote, that those of us who may be a Thomas, that we will honestly examine the evidence. And God, I pray that after having examined the evidence, we will come out on the other side and say, you know what? Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. And He really needs to be my leader and my forgiver, my Savior and my Lord. And so God, I pray for everyone today that as we have studied this word together, that they will be able to get something out of it for this next week. We pray in the almighty and the all-powerful name of Jesus. Amen.